Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school, rock school, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
I was just nothing more than a listener to what my dad played, because I had no, you know, nobody introducing me to rock.
Yeah, what so does a spark plug salesman like to listen to in his spare time?
The old RCA Red Labels. It was a lot of Broadway stuff and all of that, and a little bit of Barbra Streisand.
If you're going down to San Francisco.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, and I played all of that.
Class is in.
This is Rock School once again. My name is Joe Burns. Sitting to my immediate left is, what's again your name there, kid?
Well, his name's Chris.
I know, but we got more people in the studio here.
I'm Chad P.
Right.
What is going on? Why are all these people in here?
Chad P. came up with an idea.
Oh.
We get emails every now and again that
He's
said,
going with my idea.
What does Chad have to do with this radio show? Why is he there? Just to giggle and be cute and such? Well,
yeah,
yes.
I told that guy, I'll show you.
Yes, but he came up with an idea, which actually will either sink like a stone or fly like an eagle, and we're going to try one here this week and next week. He came up with an idea called the Rock School Roundtable. So
like
what
that,
we did,
how it rolls off the tongue.
Yep. What we did was went out and grabbed six different people who are friends of the show and decided to bring them in three at a time, three this week and three next week. And we're going to do sort of a McLaughlin group roundtable. Came up with a series of questions that really don't have factual answers. Just simple, this is what I think. Our opinions, and see if we can't start some conversation going back and forth and just see what happens. So let's introduce the people that are here. Chris Broussard is sitting to my immediate left.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing
nice
great.
To see you. Chris is from the website. You are always on there answering the trivia questions.
That's right.
I think you've actually found out the time that I post them and are there
I'm
immediately.
Just home all day.
He's one of the first people. Now, our other two guests are actually past guests of the
sure.
show, because I recognize these two lovely people, Miss Beth West, or as you call her,
Beth, not Vest.
Still don't know what that means.
Sure.
Beth
yeah.
was here for our Mardi Gras show and our country show that we did a while back with Dr. Ralph Wood. Dr. Wood, thank you so much for coming on in.
You're welcome. Glad to be
sure.
back.
And I know that with the plethora of different opinions and everything, that today's show is going to be just outstanding.
Well, that's what we're looking for. We've got 10 different questions that were sent out to the panel. And what we're going to do is throw out some questions, see if we can't get some conversation going. We don't even have a playlist set up. We're going to pick the songs off of the answers that the panel gives, and we're just going to pick out what people say. We asked people on Facebook, as well as the questions you and I came up with, we asked people on Facebook to come up with questions, and we'll start with this one. Beth actually asked if this could be our first question. People of the panel, can you remember the first rock song or musician, band, that had an effect on you? This is the piece of music that introduced you to rock music. Let's start with ladies first. Beth Notvest, what was it?
Well, the first one that had a real effect on me, besides Tony Basil in her cheerleading outfit when I was four.
Seriously, Mickey?
I was four. So
okay.
The one that had a real effect on me was the first album that I bought with my own money, and that was R.E.M.'s Out of Time in 1991. I was 12.
What'd you come up with, Ralph?
I have Jimmy Love's Marianne by Looking Glass.
See, I told
from
you
from 1973.
I told you he was going to.
I mean,
be
I was like,
didn't
I was like seven years old.
73.
WLS Radio out of Chicago played it all the time, along with Brandy. And as a seven-year-old, Jimmy Loves Marianne sounds a lot like Jimmy Loves Marianne sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Right.
So as a kid listening to AM radio, that was like the first thing. It's like, I love that song.
Was WLS one of the AM scream stations back then? I mean, did they have the overpowering jocks?
I mean, they had, yeah, Larry Lujack and Tommy Edwards were the big ones. But, yeah, it was nonstop AM, the top 40 hits and
now,
stuff.
I'm going to ask you something. When you say you heard that and then you went out and bought it, do you remember what you paid for it back in '73?
It was a single. And I think it
probably 50 cents or something
probably,
like that.
Probably, you know, but I mean, that's a song I still listen to.
Sure.
You know, and probably twice a year posted on Facebook. So,
Chris, what came in? What brought you into music?
Well, brought me into rock music. I think it was Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
Like the first non-radio stuff that I listened to. I guess it got played on the radio, but I remember I was my 10th birthday, and my friend Craig DiBenedetto had his sister's copy of Appetite for Destruction, and the first song was Welcome to the Jungle. I never heard that before. And the second song was It's So Easy. Mm-hmm. You guys know that song?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and then I'm like, did he just
say that? You mean Linda Ronstadt?
Did he just say that?
Oh, no. You mean Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, Guns N' Roses. Like, did he say what I think he said? And like, wow.
Again, did he say it again?
Yeah, he said it again. And yeah, like, wow, they really like just had a major impact on me and got me to be a major hard rock fan at first. That was my first Def Leppard, Guns N' Roses, Poison, all that stuff was my first true love of
wow, that was
music.
Hard right off the bat.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Chad, what'd you do?
I had an old school turntable as a child, and my uncle gave me a 45 of CCR, and I played Looking Out My Back Door until my dad threatened to throw it out the window.
Cool. I was just nothing more than a listener to what my dad played, because I had nobody introducing me to rock.
Yeah, what does a spark plug salesman like to listen to in his spare time?
The old RCA Red Labels. It was a lot of Broadway stuff and all of that, and a little bit of Barbra Streisand.
If you're going down to San Francisco.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And I played all of that until a couple buddies introduced me. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was either Genesis, Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, or Rush, All the World's a Stage. I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of the two of those. So, which one do you want to play? Play Rush?
Rush
from All the World's a Stage? Great. Back in a minute, right here, Rock School. Rush, Bastille Day from All the World's a Stage here on Rock School. As we do the Rock School Roundtable, let's go on to another question, spark a little bit of discussion here. Try this one out. Given the opportunity, what artist would you have not allowed to die and why? Let's go to Ralph first on this one. Ralph, what artist would you not allow to die?
This is a pretty easy one for me, John Lennon.
Why is that?
I think Lennon, he died when he was 40 years old. It would have been interesting to see what his political opinions would have been and how that would have been reflected in his music. It all but shut down any chance for a Beatles reunion.
Right.
Whether it was an official Beatles reunion or them getting together on several tracks, on different people's albums. And he was just an artist. I mean, he was a fantastic songwriter, a decent guitar player, and just a wonderful humanitarian.
Apparently he and McCartney were actually thinking about it. They came this close when Saturday Night Live was making the joke about giving, $1,000 for them to...
They were going
to
walk down there and go on.
That would have been great.
I can't help but wonder, not before Chris comes in, given the popularity that they had experienced at the time, his death probably pushed them a little bit above that. But imagine what they could have done had he remained on this earth, just with all the different projects that he probably could have sat in on and stuff. But do you think that they could have risen to that level of popularity? It's kind of like I have my answer, and I know that the majority of the popularity that this band experienced was because of the death.
Now I'm intrigued.
It's Kurt Cobain. It's like when Nirvana.
When
Nirvana came on and just exploded into this basically new genre of music, they introduced everyone to this grunge field of music. But when Cobain died, it's like all of a sudden you didn't have to wonder what was going to be the number one video on MTV. It was going to be Nirvana.
I wonder about that.
They were going to be in the top five.
Dave Grohl was just too good. Would Nirvana have survived?
I think they would have.
No, really, where do you see, with John Lennon, I kind of felt like I didn't choose Lennon personally. Like, I was struggling with I struggled with all the questions. But I didn't choose Lennon because I felt like his life would have taken more of a political turn. And so I just, for music sake. But with Kurt Cobain, I can't really see the next step. Like, I can't picture the next step for him.
I can see him going into a hermit. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And
just disappearing.
Yeah. Well, who'd you pick, Beth?
I picked Buddy Holly. because he was only 22 when he died, and we got him for, like, he was right there at the beginning.
3 years.
Of rock and roll. We've gone for three years.
That's
right.
It?
That's all he recorded, 3 years. Can
3 years,
wow.
Like starting when he was 19, and to be that brilliant at that young of an age, and at that time when rock and roll was, you know, in its infancy almost, well, not maybe toddlership, if that's a word.
Toddlership?
I just made it up.
Call Toys R Us, format that.
Wait, I'm going to just, I'm going to put a TM on that. I claim copyright of toddlership.
Good for you.
But I think that, because, yeah, I thought of a million different people that I would like to save, but I would really love to see what he had in store, you know, as the 60s progressed. And he was still going to be a relatively young man.
Oh, sure. Chris, honest to goodness, I will get back around to you.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. No, I excluded anybody that you know, died at their own hands, either like Kurt Cobain or Hendrix or, you know, anyone that went out like that, you know. Yeah. And I figured someone was going to say a John Lennon, and I figured it would probably be Ralph. But I went with Dimebag Darrell only because, you know, big Pantera fan. And exactly, like, I think no one should have to go out like that, doing what they love and...
At the hands, you know, of a nut.
Of a nutcase, yeah, exactly.
That's two of these, at the hands of a nutcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lennon as well. I picked Zappa, Frank Zappa, because it was almost a senseless death. The cancer that killed him by today's standards.
What was it?
It was a colon cancer, okay. And it was a cancer that was so easily, by today's standards, is so easily found by a protein test.
Okay.
And could have been found, taken care of. Easily, it didn't have to happen, and he I guess he was kind of done with his, as maybe I just don't know it well enough, but it seemed like he was done with his avant-garde and was going into jazz and classical and such, and I could see him at some point in time turning right back around and going back into rock and roll,
right,
and putting out some brilliant stuff. That's just my thought process. Let's play Lennon. There he is, Rock School.
I'm sick and tired of hearing.
First break here on Rock School. We'll go in just a touch early, and we want to do this specific question during the first break. Why? Because we don't want to play a song after this one here. Beth pointed out that you got to ask this question without having to play a song. What is the worst, most popular band, and why are they so popular?
See, I like this question because it just gives us a chance to talk about the people who we think suck.
And you can understand why you don't want to play a song. So why don't we start with Beth,
because
she said she didn't want to play a song.
Yeah, I really don't want to play a Skrillex song.
What's wrong with them? And don't say, it's Skrillex.
You don't want to wait for the drop?
I don't like dubstep, and I don't like the drop. I think that evolution of house music into dubstep is okay for if you're like going out and you're gonna take some illegal substances and dance around like an idiot. But people actually listen to dubstep as a musical genre. Like, oh, what's your favorite music to listen to? Oh, I like dubstep. That's not okay with me.
That's not okay.
That's not good.
That's not okay at all.
No, it's not okay at all. I mean, I don't think it should count as just entertainment when you're dancing and background noise in a club. You should not actively listen to dubstep as music. I'm laying it down right now.
Wow. Mm. Take that. Okay, Ralph, what do you think?
I want to hear what he has
What's
to say.
What's the worst, most popular band?
He's always got good answers to everything. I want to hear
what
he doesn't
like.
Not
to sound cliched, but absolutely hate Nickelback.
Oh, God.
Cannot do.
Hard.
I know, it's like it's so predictable.
Yes! I love him.
It was so hard not to say Nickelback.
No. Nickelback.
I know.
Wait a minute.
No, wait. When I was putting this list together and putting these answers in, I read that question to my wife, and she went, oh, come on. I said, okay, I won't say Nickelback.
But I want to know why. Why? Why do you not like Nickelback?
I mean, Nickelback is like walking into a white room with nothing hanging on it, right? It's just like, I mean, definitely competent musicians, but they have reduced, like, alternative metal hard rock down to its most generic base.
You're here.
And I understand that it's entertaining to people, but I would rather stick pencils in my ears and listen to it. I just know Nickelback.
I listened to somebody say one time, I hate Nickelback. Why? Because I'm supposed to.
Because I hate Nickelback. Yeah. Let me go. The worst, most popular band. This is just my opinion. I know a lot of people love them. I hate Fish.
I knew you were going to say Fish.
I hate Fish. I liked them the first time I heard them when they were called the Grateful Dead. They're just a poor man's Grateful Dead.
They should just call themselves Grateful Dead.
They should.
Band.
They're just an extended jam band, and when I listen to them, they're I like your way of putting it. They're a white room with nothing hanging on it. If you want this kind of music, listen to the Dead. It's done so much better.
Christopher,
I have Nickelback as well.
Yeah.
For every reason,
huh?
love it.
Every reason Ralph said, and
They're
just a phony band. That's all I can say about them.
Chad, if you say Nickelback, I'm just going to have to change my vote to Nickelback because it's only because of my wife I didn't say Nickelback.
No, I actually did not put Nickelback, and I ran this answer by my wife who went, "You're really going to say that on Rock School?" I said, "Yes, I am." I think Kiss is the worst, most popular band.
You're lucky. You're sitting as far away from him as possible. That's Ralph hissing, by the way.
I'll tell you why. Cut him, Chris.
Hold on. Don't cut me. Come on, cut me. I'll tell you why. I think as far as a show goes,
I'm going to get out of the blast.
Awesome. But to me, the show doesn't match the sound. You come out with all that blazing makeup and black leather and everything, you should sound like Motorhead.
I agree with you, Chad.
Thank you.
I do.
Do you?
I do.
You got all this fire and pyro and Gene Simmons giving that tongue and you...
Amazing show.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like their music, but I don't think it matches.
There's only one thing wrong with your argument, Chad.
What?
You're wrong.
You shut up.
KLSU, thanks for running the radio show.
KSCL in Shreveport agrees with me.
Probably. Beth, tell us where to get us on Facebook.
Just search Rock School Radio Show. You'll find them.
Back in a minute to talk about what cult band or artist has never achieved wide success, but should. Back in a minute, Rock School. This is Rock School as we do the Rock School Roundtable. Once again, let me go around and say everybody's name one more time. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm
Chad Pierce. Right. Give your name.
Chris Broussard.
One more time.
Ralph Wood.
And
Beth West.
This is the question we're going to hit right now. What cult band or artist is it that has never achieved wide success but should have? And why? Let's go to Chris first.
All right. I think this band qualifies. I got the Replacements.
Good. Why?
Just terrific songwriting, you know, just rock and roll attitude. And toward the end, like, their sound got pretty slick sounding, I would say.
But where you would think they achieved success?
I think they were their own worst enemy, actually.
Why
I think
is that?
Just reputation for being, like, real sloppy live, I think. They never really got it together. You know, was it Bob Stinson? The guitar player?
I mean,
that
Bob,
died.
Yeah, was the original guitar player.
You know, they kind of lost a little fire, I think, when he died. And
they're anti-heroes.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're just their own worst enemy. You know, they put the video out, they just had the one speaker, they never really played the game. I think that's part of why they never made it.
They never conformed.
Big time. Exactly. Yeah.
Non-conformists.
Well, you talk to Ralph. Let's go to you next.
Husker Du.
Husker Du.
Without a doubt. Because, I mean, without Husker Du, there is no Nirvana. There's no Pixies. There's... this whole alternative music thing, there's none of that. They melded pop music with noise. And they are fantastic songwriters. Bob Mould went on to write for Sugar, which breaks the same time that Nirvana's Nevermind breaks. But they are criminally overlooked.
I mean, everybody can do Nirvana. Most people can do Pixies.
They were just too early. I mean, this whole notion that Nirvana created something out of nothing is just BS. Because the whole scene was set for them to break with Husker Du, The Replacements, Sonic Youth, Black Flag, Dinosaur Jr. all laid the groundwork. It's just like it took Nirvana to took it to the next step. But, you know, if you're listening to Nirvana and you're not listening to any of that other music that came before it, well, then you're kind of a poser. You need to go back and look at the other stuff. Because... Bob Mould is a guitar god, man.
Right. So basically, when all their stuff was out, basically you're saying society just wasn't ready for it yet? Were we kind of still stuck in the 80s hairband era?
Replacements and Husker Du made the jump to a major label, and then they sort of disintegrated. But, I mean, between late 70s punk was all on major labels. Then it goes underground with Black Flag through the 80s, And just by the end of that, some of these bands get on major labels, and they set the groundwork for what Nirvana does. You know, but there's nothing new in Nirvana. They just, Butch Vig slicked it up pretty good on that album. But, yeah. I mean, Bleach is an ugly album.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic album, you know. So,
Beth, what do you got?
I have Kate Bush, who is, she's really popular in the UK, but people in the United States usually only know that one song. But
Going Up That Hill?
Yeah, I'm Running Up That Hill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that if you, most people would look at her, the two albums she put out in the late 80s, they're perfection as far as like pop music.
Yeah, my answer stinks. I'm just going to go to Chad. Go ahead.
I got a band called Brother Kane, popular in the 90s, only around. You familiar with it, Chris?
Yeah.
Popular for about 3 years in the mid 90s, actually opened for Van Halen.
No.
In 95. Yes, sir.
Oh, very nice.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
There are things I don't know about Van Halen.
They charted every single that they put out from their three albums, charted. The highest one, well, the highest one was number one. The lowest one was number 30
was
on the
Billboard. Got No Shame?
Yeah. And they had a couple of other hits. And the reason that they didn't achieve the success is because they couldn't make up their mind if they wanted to stay together or not.
Oh,
they broke up. They got back together. They broke up. They got back together. That tour for Van Halen was one of the last ones that they did.
Is that the one with Sammy, the last tour with Sammy?
Mm-hmm.
Then guess what? I saw them.
And you don't remember
and
my band?
I guess
they
I don't remember.
They obviously left quite an impression.
They left no impression whatsoever.
That's a good song.
They left no impression whatsoever.
Was Full Shine? Was that Brother Kane?
Yes.
You're in the line for beer the entire time.
when are they coming out? All right, let's play The Replacements. What's it here on Rock School? Past the bottom of the hour here on Rock School as we do the round table. Let me give the question that drove me up a tree. I must have gone through, I'm not kidding, 15 different songs on this one. I went through Steely Dan lyrics. I went through Van Halen lyrics. I went through so many different lyrics on this. I went through big band lyrics on this one because the song that I consider my wife's and my song is a big band song, which I absolutely adore, called A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. And I almost picked a lyric out of that. But to the group, what is the greatest lyric ever written? Chad.
Got it.
Go ahead. What is it?
From Pearl Jam's 10 album, Jeremy Spoke in Class Today.
Just that line.
Yep.
Jeremy spoke in class today.
It's a song about a young adolescent boy who is fighting all of the peer pressures of the world, and one day he has enough. Jeremy spoke in class today.
Okay, good enough. Where am I going to go next? Let's go back to Ralph.
I'm going to go with Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, and the lyric is, "Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. We got to get out while we're young, because tramps like us, baby, we were born to run."
I knew you were going to pick a Springsteen, but that's
such a good choice.
That's a good choice. Yeah, right. I knew you were going to Jungleland or somewhere
Born to,
else.
I mean, Born to Run's my all-time favorite song.
Yeah.
I mean, so when I was looking for a lyric, it was like, you know, if that's your favorite song, it's got to come from there. There's a reason that's your favorite song. So
you got to pull it out of there. All right, Beth, go ahead. What's the best lyric?
I did. I chose Leonard Cohen's Off. Covered off.
No,
covered.
Not
Hallelujah.
A Leonard Cohen. No! Look!
Wait, really?
Me too. Me too.
Oh,
same
yeah?
song.
Really?
Now, let's see if you picked the same lyric.
I picked Maybe There's a God Above, But All I've Ever Learned from Love Was How to Shoot at Someone Who Outdrew You. I mean, the whole song is amazing, but that one I think stands out.
All right. Well, you two wash.
Yeah, well, I heard there was a secret chord that Daniel played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? That's such a nasty, nasty lyric, isn't it?
I know, and it's such a beautiful song, especially that John Cale and and Jeff Buckley versions of it that you don't realize the sinister undertones of it.
Really,
I love
is.
That.
I even brought along the second one. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled mm-hmm. king composing Hallelujah. But just that first one where he's saying such a beautiful thing, and then he looks at, I'm assuming, you know, a woman, but you don't really care for music, do you? What a nasty, nasty thing to say to somebody. I thought that was brilliant, and I really did. I mean 10 to 15 songs.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I came so close to doing Kid Charlemagne. I can't tell you. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Now, I think mine might qualify more as just a more clever than best lyric ever written, but
okay.
It's from a Drive-By Trucker song called Zip City, and your brother was the firstborn with 10 fingers and 10 toes. It's a damn good thing, because I need all 20 to keep the closet door closed. I don't know, that line just popped in my head. That's a great line.
I don't know what that means.
That song is full of great lines.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. I
have a question.
Go ahead.
Can we play Springsteen?
Yes.
No. Yeah, of course.
Well, of course,
it'd be un-American not to.
Thank you.
Wait, maybe hear us win if we don't play.
Baby, we were born to run right here, Rock School. Second break here on Rock School, so we need another question that doesn't specifically have a song to it. So here's a fun one. Try this one at home as well. If you could assemble a 5-person supergroup, who would it be? And just for fun, name it.
Me. Can I start?
I haven't started one yet.
Well, let me start one.
All right.
You can start one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, ready? All right, my lead guy is Steven Tyler.
Okay.
My lead guitarist is Joe Perry.
This isn't
my
a
bass player
group.
Is Tom Hamilton.
Yeah.
My rhythm guitarist is Brad Whitford.
All right.
And my drummer is me.
Oh, well.
And the name of the group is Aerosmith and Chad P.
That's super.
It is a super, huh?
Super duper.
Nothing
against Joey
really
Kramer.
Hard about that one.
And what songs do you guys play?
Oh, we're going to kick it off with Eat the Rich.
Dream.
Do a little Sweet Emotion. Dream On.
And always, I thought it would be.
Saddle somewhere.
Yeah, I thought it would be Pee On, that kind of thing.
Peon.
Yeah, let's see. Put that together very quickly. Go ahead, Beth. Who's your 5?
Okay, let's see. My front man is Bowie.
No!
Oh no!
Come on!
Wait, let me see. Okay. I chose people who I thought might actually work a little bit well together. So
that
my guitarist is The Edge because he kind of blends in, but he's still amazing. My bassist is Kim Deal. Rhythm guitarist is George Harrison. And Zigaboo Modalist on drums.
Jeez, Kim Deal.
Who is that on drums?
Looking for something to do. See, I gave her a job.
What's the drummer's name? What's the drummer's name?
Zigaboo Modalist. Ziggy Modalist from The Meters.
Okay.
Funk drummer.
All right. Go ahead. Let's hear it. Oh, did you name it?
Oh, yes. Probable Train Wreck.
Probable trainer. Oh, I like that. Go ahead, Ralph. What do you got?
I'm going to have, of course, Springsteen, Mike Ness from Social Distortion, Dave Alvin from The Blasters and X. On drums, Scott Shirella from Super Suckers and Reverend Horton Heat. Tommy Stinson on bass.
Excellent. What do you have there,
Chris? What's the name?
Oh, what's the name?
Got a name?
Make one up.
Not Nickelback.
Not Nickelback.
Oh, yeah. I like
Nickelback
that.
Sucks. I think that'll be a good
anything but Nickelback. All right. I've got Tommy Lee on drums.
Okay.
Got Mr. Michael Anthony on bass. I know he's in that super group already, but such a nice guy. Let's give him some
he
more
is.
Work.
Of course you got
some more
hot
backup vocals. Yes, exactly.
He needs a bone.
And on the 2-guitar attack, we have Lindsey Buckingham on one side and Keith Richards on the other.
Is Keith Richards still able to play?
They say that he's having a little trouble due to the wasn't the coconut in his head, but whatever his brain trouble was, he's a little shaky. I don't know. I think he's still terrific.
All right.
And then we have Ann Wilson.
Great.
Rounding it out. Yeah, on vocals.
Oh, my God. I saw her live. She hit every note like a sledgehammer.
If I could sing like anybody in the world, it would be Ann.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's terrific. And it would be called Rattlesnake Speedway.
Oh, that's nice.
I've always wanted to name a band that.
All right.
That's from a
Springsteen
song.
Like Ralph, I didn't have a name either, so I just made one up on the spot. Here's mine. On vocals, the 2 vocalists, Adele would be one of the vocalists. Bowie would be the 2nd vocalist. The guitarist would probably be Bowie as well. Donald Fagen would be on keyboard and probably vocals as well. Stu Hamm would be the bassist. And Fred LeBlanc would be on drums, because there's yet more vocals right there. And I needed to come up with a name, so I called it Hockey Thighs.
Is he going to step in the front when he plays?
Yeah, really.
move the whole drum kit forward.
Up front.
Do you think that Adele and Bowie would allow him to?
That's what I was about to say. You really think Adele and Bowie are going
to
get along?
No one puts Bowie in the back. Female vocal. Yeah.
Nobody puts Bowie in the corner.
Yeah. That's right. You are my backup singer, so backup singer. So, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. You run the radio show. Thank you.
NWBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Good enough. Back in a minute with another question for you. Rock School. All right, we're doing a Rock School Roundtable here, and when I wrote this question, I almost didn't include it because I thought it was kind of silly, but this question was actually requested. Apparently, it struck a nerve with the panel. An alien. All right, you like how it starts? An alien drops out of the sky.
I'm glad to see we're getting realistic.
Right. And states, the alien has time to hear only one song that is representative of rock music. Broadest sense of the word. What do you play? One song that is representative of rock music, what do you play?
So he basically says, let me hear this thing you call rock.
That's it. Broadest sense of the word. All right, who haven't started it for a while? Beth, you haven't started it for a while. What do you play?
I think we might have the same one. Satisfaction.
Well, that's one of the two that I brought, so I'm going to scratch out Satisfaction.
Okay.
I brought two songs.
But yeah, I mean, that's representative of, I think, like, immediately I started thinking, like, oh, maybe like a Beatles song, but there's not a single.
Well, the question
Beatles
is,
song.
Do you go to the beginnings of rock music, or do you play for the alien, the alien, or do you play the concept of this is the culmination, this is everything, you know.
Right.
Do you play Johnny Be Good, or do you play this is all of the rock pushed together into a later song?
I think that I picked something that was, like, as soon as rock music became an adult. That's what, sort of, I guess, Satisfaction.
Okay.
It came into its own, and that's when it really...
Let me get this straight. You brought two songs to a question that says you only got one.
Because I knew Beth was coming.
Oh.
Go ahead,
okay.
Jed.
I had this thing in 2 seconds.
Do it.
Sweet Emotion.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it contains blues. It contains
rock. It's
got
the blues influence of rock, and it kind of breaks off into that little bitty harder edge and everything.
So if
I, yeah, if I'm going to tell someone, this is rock and roll, here it is. This is the only thing I can give you. This is rock and roll.
Brutal solo.
There it is.
Yeah. Chris, what do you got?
I have, I kind of went along with what you were saying about, like, a culmination. You know, I put in my notes here. It's got the history of rock music, and it's When You Were Young by The Killers.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, it's you know, overly dramatic, like most Killers music. They have a nod to Born to Run in the middle of it with the da-na-na-na part. Anyway, it's got the little space aginess of, you know, Bowie and that kind of stuff, you know, sort of newer age music. And then the uplift and takeoff that U2 brings, I think. So that's why I picked The Killers.
Wow, man.
That is so well thought
out. You put some brains on
this. Thank
you. Wow. Ralph, beat that.
Ramblin' Gamblin' Man by Bob Seger from Live Bullet.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, it's a perfect song. Starts out with just slamming drums, call and response with Seger and the backup singers, Hammond B3 organ, two smoking guitar solos, and it's done in 3 minutes, and it's sang by a guy who's singing for his life. I mean, he was going to lose his record deal.
Yeah.
Nothing more desperate. I mean, it's like everything that rock should be, that song has
here. That is all rock and roll in its purest form. I agree.
The Who's My Generation.
That's my other one.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. And the reason is because it's my opinion the Who's My Generation was a coming out party for rock. Until that point in time, rock and roll was the coming together of musical forms. It was blues being pushed together with country, being pushed together with jazz, being pushed together with all of these. And it's my opinion, and it probably is only my opinion, which is, you know, the paper is worth the paper it's written on, but The Who's My Generation was Pete Townshend creating a new form of music called rock that did not rely on anything before it. It was a new form, and people try to put us down talking about My Generation basically lost the unroll. It was at that point in time rock, and so that's why I chose it. Can we play it? Can we play it?
Yeah.
I want to play one for good. Here you go. Who? My Generation. Let's go.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
This ain't do look awful.
My generation. My generation.
generation.
Last break here on Rock School as we do the Rock School Roundtable. We're going to wrap up with an obscure song because it's in the title of the question. Let's get everybody's names out of the way one more time so we can just go right into the discussion. Chad Pierce, Joe Burns.
Chris Broussard.
Ralph Wood.
And?
Beth West.
Okay, here is the question that's going to wrap it up. What obscure band or artist is it that has had the most influence on rock music? Let's go to Ralph first.
I'm going with Jason and the Scorchers.
Okay.
I'm going with Jason and the Scorchers because before there was Uncle Tupelo and all of this, the alternative and no depression music and melding of country and rock music, Jason and the Scorchers did it first. Picture Hank Williams fronting the Ramones. It's a perfect band. Should have been huge.
What should we be listening to? If somebody goes out and they want to grab something from Jason and the Scorchers.
I would pick up Lost and Found by Jason and the Scorchers. It's a stunning album.
All right. What do you got there, Chad?
Beck.
Beck?
Mm-hmm.
Is he obscure?
Yeah, he's obscure.
Okay. He's obscure?
Yeah.
Who is
See,
he
that's why I had a problem
obscure
with this
less
because...
Obscure, popular than he used to be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Who is the influence? That's what I'm asking.
He's influenced those who think that they have to form a 3 or 4 or 5-piece band in order to make it. He has shown that you can go in with your own identity, you can go and be you, and different is not always necessarily bad.
Okay.
Go in with your own style, and you can make it.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, mine kind of goes along with a question we had earlier, and I have, you know, just like the Pixies, Husker Du Replacements, influencing Nirvana, who then influenced the last 20 years of
You can
music.
Draw a line.
Right, exactly.
So you picked?
No one band, just like that whole kind of, you know, Husker Du Replacements, what would you call that?
That's like post-punk.
College yeah. rock, I don't know, yeah.
I went with the Shadows. Shadows? Anybody? Shadows was Cliff Richard's backup band and was a band that had instrumental hits on their own in the UK. The person you might know from the Shadows is a guy named Hank Marvin, sort of a geeky-looking guy with big, giant glasses. His real claim to fame is that he brought the first Stratocaster into the UK. Mm. It was purchased for him by Cliff Richards, and everybody knows it in the UK. It's bright flamingo pink. At the time, it was the most expensive instrument in the Fender catalog. And he went to Cliff Richards and said, look, if we're going to be, you know, the band, we have to have expensive instruments, and he got Richards to buy him this instrument. Bruce Welch, who just died last year, was the rhythm guitarist. There's a line of guitars out of the UK called Burns, made by Burns Limited, and they were called the Shadows and played Burns guitars, so if you can get hold of a Burns Shadow guitar, it's worth a little bit of money. But they had a series of instrumental albums that, I mean, the cream of the crop of British instrumentalists, Clapton, and also you can hear people from the United States talk about how much influence Hank Marvin had throughout the 50s and 60s. And to look at him, you'd go, this guy? And just obscure as anything, look for the song Apache, and you'll hear what the Shadows were all about. And that's who I have to say. Go ahead, Beth.
I had J.J. Cale, who, you know, he's most famous for writing Cocaine and After Midnight, which were maybe famous by Eric Clapton, but a bunch of people covered his stuff, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, Kansas, the band, and he's partnered a lot with Leon Russell, who's enjoying this kind of new heyday. But if you look on YouTube for his songs, everybody, like a lot of people now have covered them, everybody from The Swell Season, who I saw cover him, who are this Irish band, and to Beck. Beck has a really good cover of Magnolia, which I'd like to play.
Let's play it.
Yeah.
That's going to wrap it up. Hey, thank you all for coming.
Thanks for having
us. I appreciate
that.
Wonderful. We'll do this again one time next week. That's going to wrap it up. Class is dismissed. Thank you all.